just want to welcome every person who's here for the first time. It's exciting that you're here today. My name is Tim. I'm the lead pastor. And I don't know if you had a great couple days, but I had a really good Thanksgiving. How many of you had a wonderful Thanksgiving? Did you have a good Thanksgiving? Was it good? How many of you ate too much? Raise your hand. Okay, we're going to have the altar open a little bit later. So if you just need to come down and repent, we're going to give you an opportunity to create space for God to do that in your life today. It'll be awesome. But I love Thanksgiving. It's always been one of my favorite holidays. I mean, who wouldn't love just a pause in the middle of your work week where you don't work and everything shuts down and you're forced to stay? Well, that sounds like COVID. Never mind. But really, like, there's something beautiful about knowing that today we're just going to feast and we're going to watch football and we're going to hang out with family. It's a great day. And one of the things that I tried to do is to kind of encourage myself in the week leading up to it to not just have this as a day to get full, eat a lot of food, but what would it look like for me to use this kind of moment to remind myself about the power of gratitude? Because I think it is important that we'll throw a date on the calendar, because let's be honest, if we didn't have this day on the calendar, most of us would not even think a thing about it. But I think something about Thanksgiving forces us to kind of pause and say, what am I grateful for? And so this week, one of the things I did in just my personal devotion time was I tried to have like a journal of gratitude. I tried to thank God for all of the people and the opportunities and the church he's given me. I just took time to, because I think there's something really powerful that happens when you posture yourself with gratitude. In fact, science is discovering that people who are express gratitude tend to be happier in life. They have more joy. They tend to see life through a more positive lens. They also tend to be more generous. There's something that happens when we're grateful. And so I love Thanksgiving. I love the day. If anything, it forces me to pause and to say what I'm thankful for and to think about gratitude. But I also think it's kind of funny as I look at this calendar to see that we have a day where our culture has a forced pause. That's what it is, a forced pause, to be thankful for what we have, to ironically be followed up with the craziest, greediest shopping day of the year. Does anybody else thought that's kind of ironic? It's like, man, I'm just so grateful for life. I don't need anything else but the people around. Oh, this is on sale. I've got to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning so I can get it. Like, this has kind of been a tradition. It had been for years and years now. We used to go over to my brother's house for Thanksgiving in the evening. My brother, several years ago, moved to Utah, and so we kind of haven't done that. But up until then, every year, our family would get together with his family and his wife's family, and we'd have a second Thanksgiving dinner for the day. It was great. And whenever we got done, this is, again, some of you that you won't know what these are, but we would all, like, head into the living room, and somebody would bring Black Friday ads. Now, I know no one uses those, and it's like it was paper that was printed on, you know. But they would bring Black Friday ads, and there's something about the ads in the paper that was fun. We would sit together, and we would all just go through it, and people would be circling like, oh, they got this size TV on this sale, and they got this, you know, Xbox, and I wanted to get, you know. And people would circle it, and they'd make plans for going out to do all that, or shopping early in the morning. And it just kind of struck me as ironic that we can't even get through a meal without thinking, gosh, I need something else. And listen, if you went Black Friday shopping, more power to you. I'm someone who loves a deal, a really good deal. Okay, I'm so cheap and frugal. If I can get a deal, I'm all for it, right? I'm not saying you're greedy if you went Black Friday shopping. But I am saying, like, have we ever noticed that we have this dichotomy played out in culture that I think is actually a tension that lives in all of us? I feel it, and I'll be the first to own it. Okay, I'll own this. There's a tension inside of me where one moment I'm grateful for what I have, but I'm also wanting what I don't have. Do any of you feel that tension? Or am I the only one? Like, I don't even know if Christmas does this to us. There's something about the season. Like, I one moment I'm like, oh, God, I'm so grateful for all that you've given me. I don't need anything else. I am beyond blessed. I want a new one of these. I would like a new pair of shoes. I would like these. And there's a tension inside of all of us. I think you feel it. I feel it. There's a battle that wages war inside all of us between greed and gratitude. Right? I feel it. Like one moment I'm like, oh, I'm grateful. God's really blessed me. Next moment is like, I need more. And I think if we are not careful when it comes to this battle that wages inside of all of us, if we don't learn how to win this battle, how are we as followers of Christ ever going to win the world? If we don't learn to deal with this and this, because it's a struggle, I have it, I'll own it. If we don't learn how to deal with this, how are we ever expecting that God's going to use us to change the world? Because that's the same tension and battle that everyone in the world feels. And if we don't embrace this and learn how that we push beyond greed to a life of gratitude, then it will severely limit the change that God wants to do in this world. And I believe that God has created you and me to change the world. Call me naive, call me just somebody who is maybe just believes a little bit for the impossible, but I don't think that you're an accident. In fact, I know you're not an accident. And I believe that God created you to change the world, to make an impact for his kingdom. And that's what we've been talking about for the last several weeks. We've been talking about what does it look like to become a world changer. And I'm here to tell you that if we don't understand the grip of greed, it will severely limit our ability to be a world changer. In fact, it's such a powerful thing that Jesus and so many of the New Testament writers all spoke about it. They talked about it at length. In fact, if you've got your Bible with you, I'd love for us to look at what is maybe one of my favorite stories that we ever see Jesus talking about. It's found in Luke chapter 12. And so if you got your Bible with you or electronic device, in Luke chapter 12, there's this moment where Jesus is with a crowd of people when there's a guy who just randomly blurts something out. And it's kind of comical, actually, what this guy blurts out. But let's look at it together. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. It says this in verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Now, just pause for a second. I want you to imagine. There's a big crowd of people. And there's a guy who just kind of like, where does this come? Blurts this out of left field. Can we all agree that he has not a very good self-awareness or social awareness. Like, this is not the kind of moment. You're not in a crowd of people. You're like, Jesus, tell my brother to split it with me fairly. Right? This is awkward. I love Jesus' response in verse 14. He says, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Like, I am not getting involved in your family drama. But then Jesus said something in verse 15. Then he said to them, "Watch out." Everybody say, "Watch out." Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of what? Greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. So here's this guy who, again, just is awkward. And we don't get the backstory. We don't know. It sounds like probably his dad passed away. And that's usually when your inheritance would then get passed on to the children and typically to the boys. And in their culture, the firstborn typically got double what all the rest got, which was, we all agree, completely unfair. And I'm not saying that just because I'm second born. I just think we all agree that that is just completely unfair. And so this could be a second born brother, and he's just like, "Hey, this isn't right." And so he's appealing to Jesus. "Come on, tell him to, I want my equal share." Now, Jesus does not get involved, and we do not understand all of the dynamics. But one thing we do understand is that Jesus had a divine skill. He could hear people talk, and he would know what the motive was behind what they were asking. And so in this moment, Jesus kind of turns the table. And he says, "Oh, well, since you brought that up, let me give you this warning. Watch out, because greed will sneak up on you." In fact, if you want a simple definition, maybe you're a note taker and you like to follow along. If you want to, my simple definition for greed is this: the desire for more. That's simple, right? It's the desire for more. In fact, the Greek word that's used here, contextualized, it goes beyond just that. It's like the desire for more, but it's in the context of wanting more of what somebody else has that you don't have. You'll see some translations will say covet. He says, watch out, because there's a tendency, all of us, we can recognize this, there's a tendency to want what everybody else has that we don't have. Yeah, my SUV, you know, I just had to get the base package, and we only got two rows, and man, she's got the big luxury one with the powered third row and the entertainment package. I wish our SUV was that nice. Right? Like, greed can be any sort of this. In fact, Jesus, as he's warning them, why does Jesus warn them about the power of greed? Here's why. Because it's deceptive. It's not obvious. If it were obvious, Jesus wouldn't need to warn them. But it's not obvious. It'll sneak up on you. And Jesus, he gives this language of be careful, watch out, be on your guard. You got to pay attention to this against these all these different types of greed. Now, I love to say this. There's not just a greed for more stuff. There's also the greed for money. There's greed for power, greed for position, greed for affirmation, greed for praise. There's so many things. It's this idea that I need more of this, especially what you have and I don't have. And the reason why Jesus warns them is because we don't understand their trap associated with greed. What is the trap? The trap is that we get caught in a cycle of perpetual discontentment. You know, it's like you're stuck in the loop. This is a loop that we all know. This is a loop we all feel. What is it? That it's like, you know, no matter what I get, I might feel a hit for a moment, but then I'm not happy for the rest of the time. It's this cycle that we get stuck in where it's just like there's never enough. There's not enough Black Fridays. There's not enough Christmases. There's not enough presents. There's not enough things that we could get. There's never enough money that you can make. There's never a high enough position that you can get in your career. Like, it's this idea that there's a perpetual drive for more that will never satisfy. So Jesus says, watch out, because we could end up choosing a life that is less than what I created you to live. By the way, he says that life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. In other words, life isn't about who gets the most, right? I think we understand that. We chase after it. But we also understand, I know it's just stuff. Life is not about bigger and better. You know, there are people today all across America living in mansions but have no family. That's a tragedy. There are people all day, all around our society that have millions of followers but no one to truly love them. There are people who have made it and climbed to the very top of the ladder in their career and yet they're desperately alone. And Jesus is reminding him, and he's reminding us, that there is more to life than just what you can get and keep. And this was such an important concept that Jesus followed this up with a story. Now, what I want to read is, we're going to go on, is this parable Jesus tells. And this, by far, I've always said it's like one of my top three favorite stories ever that Jesus has told. It's so simple, and yet it is incredibly profound. And in fact, I went back and looked, and I love to preach on this, that I preached on at the beginning of this year. And so if you were here at the beginning of the year, you're going to get to hear it again. But here's the good news. The good news is they tell us that most of you will forget 95% of what I've said 24 hours from now. So it won't matter. It'll be like the first time you ever heard it. Luke 12, verse 16. I love this parable. Here's what Jesus said. He told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. And he thought to himself, man, what am I going to do? I've got no place to store all my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, bro, you've got plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be married. Ooh, life is good. This guy, Jesus is painting a picture for them that would be kind of like, for us today, be like, this guy hit the lotto, right? This guy, he hit the lottery. Like, he got more than he ever expected. Like, he just got blessed with more than he can contain. How many of you, be honest, how many of you would be like, I'm okay if God were to do that for me? And how many of you, raise your hand. How many are like, God bless me with more than I can fit in my house? You know, the sad reality is, he already has. I mean, let's be honest. In our culture, most of us have run out of room in our house, stuffing it with stuff. We have basements full. Some of you are like, oh, that's winter project. We got to organize it. Some of you have said this. We need to get a dumpster brought to our house to purge. Think about that. It's not just the basement, it's the garage. You know what I find funny? I find this hilarious. And this is true. I'm going to say this, and it's going to hit home for about 90% of you. I'm always shocked how many people have 2 and 3 car garages but can't fit one car in it. Dang, he's like, he just got in my business today. My wife says to me all the time when I'm like, gosh, I need to clean out the garage. And she'll be like, why do we have all these tools? She never sees me use them. Why do you have all this stuff? I say, honey, I can't get rid of it. I have it just in case I need it someday. You ever said that? Like, it's not only that, but we go so far, it's not just our houses and our basements that are full, but our garages are full. So it's so bad in our culture, and we have so much stuff that there are many of you that have had to rent storage units 5 miles from your house to fill it with junk that you will never look at. I tell you, I've said this before. This is like, you know, I didn't have a lot of money growing up and didn't have a lot of money when I was young. None of us do. But I've always said, if I could go back 20 or 30 years, I would scrape together all the money that I have and I would buy a storage unit facility. Because that is a moneymaker in our culture, right? That's a moneymaker. Because most of us are like, man, I wish God would bless me with more than enough. And I just wonder if maybe he has. And so Jesus is telling this story, and I want to say it's just as relevant for us today as it was 2,000 years ago. You see, back then, their currency was their crops, agricultural. For many of them, it was what they were able to grow that was how they sustained life and how they bartered and that was their money. And so this guy, he comes into a real serious problem. I'm so blessed that I don't have room to contain it. I don't know what to do. I'm going to tear down my barns. I'll build bigger barns because bigger is better, right? I will build bigger. Now, here's the thing. Most of us go, we just don't have that problem. It's because today we have digital barns called banks, and they're endless in size, and we can just fill them and never run out of room. But Jesus knows that this is the challenge that all of humans wrestle with and deal with. And Jesus speaks to this idea that we have to be careful, I think especially in America, of the trap of greed. In fact, there's a practice. I want to give you, maybe you're someone who takes notes. If you don't, you should be someone who takes notes. I want to give you a thought that I just think would be great if we could get this inside, if we could remember this whenever we're blessed, because we're blessed. Whenever we receive greater blessing, whenever we get a raise, whenever we receive an unexpected blessing, whenever we say, what if we were to ask this question? And that is this: whenever you get more, ask what it's for. Whenever you get more, ask what it's for. Or maybe if we said this first person, whenever I get more, ask what it's for. Can we all say that together? I want you to get this. I want you to remember this, okay? Let's say it first person. Whenever I get more, ask what it's for. So here's the thing. Most of us never stop to do that. We're like, oh, I got a raise. Whoo, I deserve it. Right? I work hard. I deserve it. I know that's how most of us feel. What if we took a different posture and we said, whenever I'm blessed with more, I'm going to ask God, what's it for? Why did you bless me with more? Because the trap with greed and when it comes to abundance is to think that it was actually me. I did it. I'm so good, they promoted me. I'm so smart, they saw my value and they just gave me a higher pay grade. Oh, look what I did. And this is a trap. This is why Jesus, when he tells the parable, he doesn't mince words. In fact, I don't know if you caught this. There's a little small point in the story that I thought so powerful. Verse 16, if we could throw that verse back up again real quick. I love this. Verse 16, what does it say? Jesus was telling him a parable, and he says this: the sowing skill of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. Right? Is that what it said? Oh, I read that wrong. Sorry, let me try it again. The hard work of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. No, that wasn't what he said, was it? The farming prowess. This dude was good. I mean, he just knew it. What did Jesus say yielded an abundant harvest? Say it with me. The what? The ground. The ground of a certain. See, I don't think it's an accident that Jesus said that. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. It wasn't this guy. Now, this guy could have said, well, yeah, but I own the ground because I have the deed and I bought it and it's my money and I'm the one that planted it. And I worked the ground and I plowed it and I furrowed up the ground and I put down the seed and I did all that. I know, but sometimes, because that's what we do. That's what we think about our blessing. But sometimes we don't go back a little bit further and ask this question, but who created the ground? Can I be honest with you? I've never made dirt. I've tried to make something. I've never made dirt. I can't make dirt. I've never made seeds before. I've never made seeds. We've never made seeds, right? Who made the dirt? God, the creator. Who made the seed? God, the creator. Who sends the rain on the just and the unjust? God, the creator. Who put the star in our universe that gives sunlight that we need so that it can grow? God, the creator. You see, most of us forget that all that we have is not because of our doing, but it's because of God's doing. And every opportunity that you had, the family you were born into, the capacity for intelligence that you have, the physical ability you have to do your job, all of these things, you need to understand, they're not from your doing. It's from God's blessing. And the problem with this guy is not that he was blessed. The problem was he missed why he was blessed. And the focus of his story was himself. It was all about himself. In fact, I love to do this every time I've preached on this story. And so if you remember it, forgive me. But I always like to look again at what this guy says about his blessing. Because what he has to say about his blessing indicates what he's really thinking about. And so when you look at this, here's what I want to do. I want to read verse 17 through 19 again, but I underline a few words in it, and I want you to kind of say them when you see them, and I'm hoping that you'll see something come out that maybe you missed the first time. Verse 17 says this, he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. What did he say? I will tear down my barns. I'll build bigger ones in there. I will store my surplus of grain, verse 19, and I'll say to, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be married. Can I ask just a real simple question? I know most of you already get it. Who's this guy thinking about? Himself. He's looked at all that he has, and he's going, man, dude, look at what you have done. He's thinking about himself. Every personal pronoun in there. Look what I've done. My crops, my property, I'll store. And listen, let me just help you understand, okay? It's not bad that he was blessed. I just feel like sometimes you got to fight back against it because I grew up in an era, in a culture. If you're a follower of Jesus, the goal was to be broke and poor. It was because poverty was next to godliness. Again, another one of those sayings that's just jacked up, not from scripture anywhere. But there's this idea that if I'm going to be like holy and godly, that somehow I shouldn't be blessed. But Jesus is telling this story that God blessed the man. Can I just tell you, I hope God blesses your ground. I hope he blesses the ground of your business. I hope he blesses the ground of your career. I hope he blesses the ground of your family. I hope he blesses the ground of your finances. I hope God blesses you so much that you have an abundance. The tragedy in all of this is that we could get to a place where we never ask God, what's the blessing for? Why did you bless me with more, God? And see, here's the deception, is it doesn't feel like more because we have a tendency of just building bigger barns. I just got a bigger house and I have a bigger mortgage, so I don't have abundance. I got a better car. It comes with a bigger loan. I just don't. Let's be honest. In this room, and even who I'm talking to, most of us, we're wealthier than like 99% of the rest of the world. We're wealthier. Can I just look at, I'm looking at a bunch of rich people. I know you don't feel rich. Can I tell you why? It's because we aren't good at being rich. This is why what Jesus is saying is so important. And if we don't pause and ask God, what's the blessing for? We could spend our whole lives building something for ourselves that we can't keep. And so Jesus, toward the end of this story, he says something really powerful. Look at verses 20 and 21. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? All you've thought about is yourself. And look at verse 21. This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not what? Say it out loud. Is not rich toward God. Now, a misapplication of studying this text would be like, oh, well, there's no point in saving money. There's no point in saving. There's no point in, that is not what Jesus is talking about. It's not this kind of attitude that we talked about week one, which is, I'm not gonna live very long anyways. Who knows how long I have? I could die tomorrow. I mean, look what Jesus said. This guy is, you fool, your life is gonna demand it of you tomorrow. You don't even know, so I'm just gonna eat, drink, and be merry. I'm just gonna live life frivolously. I'm gonna spend everything I have. That is not the application Jesus is talking about here. You get that, right? He's not talking about that. And he's not saying that it's bad to be blessed with an abundance, okay? That's not what he's saying. But what he is saying is, the trap of greed will cause us to think all of that abundance is for me, to the point that I will miss out on what God wanted to do through my life. And the key here, the key isn't about, well, you know, don't save money, spend it. The key here is, he says, this is the fate of everyone who is not rich toward God. That phrase, rich toward God, is exactly what it sounds like. It means to be generous, to be rich toward God. Some of us will go, well, how are you rich toward God? I don't think God needs my money. Here's how you can be rich toward God. When you have a heart to give to the things that God cares about. When you can be rich toward God when you have a heart to meet the need of somebody that's in front of you that God cares about. You can be rich toward God when you invest and you give and you're a part of building something that's not just for yourself, but something that's part of the kingdom of God that will never be gone. When you have a heart like that, that's when you can be rich toward God. And the whole essence of what Jesus is talking about is, what do we do with the abundance? What do we do? At the end of the day, most of us don't understand. We don't realize that we are blessed with an abundance because we'll spend it all. I'm guilty of this too. I'm constantly have to be challenged by God's word. But at the end of the day, there's really only two responses to what we do with our abundance. There's only two of them. You either store it or you sow it. You store it or you sow it. Right? This guy stored it. You can store it so that eventually you can spend it. Or you can sow it. Now, all throughout Scripture, we are constantly taught about the power of sowing. And I know we're not agricultural society as much anymore today, but I think we all can understand the principle, right? We see it in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. It says that if you sow sparingly, you'll reap how? Okay, it's not your question. You all could get that. Let's do this again. If you sow sparingly, you'll reap how? Yeah, and if you sow generously, you'll reap how? Generously. There's this principle you see throughout Scripture about sowing and reaping. You know, in today's language, a lot of people that don't even believe in God, we call it karma. You're going to get what you deserve, what you did. But this bigger principle is actually a spiritual one of sowing and reaping. And Scripture says that when you sow generously, that you reap generously. In other words, the more you give it away, sow it in God's kingdom, bless others, see a need, meet a need. The more you do that, the more it creates a flow of God's blessing of abundance in your life. In fact, let me give you, I'll break it down this way. This is the way I see it, okay? when I look at scripture, it's these two thoughts, all right? Generosity creates the flow of God's blessing or of God's abundance. Generosity creates the flow of abundance. But also with that, you need to hear this. Greed stops the flow of abundance. Generosity creates the flow of abundance, but greed stops the flow of abundance. If you don't believe me, let me read this scripture to you. Proverbs 11, you don't have to go there. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25, I love it in the Message paraphrase. It says this, the world of the generous gets larger and larger, but the world of the stingy gets what? Smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others, here it is abundantly blessed. Generosity creates a flow of blessing and abundance in your life. Those who help others are helped. This is why Jesus warns us of the trap of greed. Because greed says, hold it all for myself. And Jesus says, yeah, but you don't understand what you're limiting. You are stopping the flow of God's abundance in your life. Because listen, if God can get his blessing to you, he will continue if it'll go through you. But here's what I found. I found this, that when God's blessing stops with you, he stops blessing you. I want you to let that sit in for a moment. When God's blessing stops with you, he stops blessing you. When we stop allowing ourselves to be an outlet of God's blessing, that's when his blessing stops flowing to us. And here in our church, we believe so much in the power of generosity that it is one of our core values. You hear us say it every single week. What do we say? If you know it, say it with me. Generosity is our, because I believe that it is a privilege that when we recognize how God has blessed our ground, that it's a privilege to be able to give back. It's a privilege to be able to say, God, what's it for? And it is a privilege to be about building a kingdom that is bigger than just our own. It is a privilege. And when I think about the season we've been in, and I think there's a connection. I really do. I think that there's a connection between generosity and gratitude. In fact, I'll say it this way. I think generosity is the overflow of gratitude. When we become grateful for all that God has done for us, not only does it disarm greed, but it creates a flow of generosity in our lives. See, I think it's important that we have a day on the calendar to force ourselves to be grateful. Because if we don't, we might let it skip by without ever being reminded of the power of gratitude. Can I tell you, I think it's equally as important to put a date on the calendar to challenge us to be generous. That's why every year, at the end of our year, we put a date on the calendar. Just like we've got a date for Thanksgiving, we put a date for being generous. In a couple weeks, coming up December 10th, we're gonna have that opportunity. This is the date on our calendar as a community to be generous. It's an opportunity where we're inviting our church. The only time we do this, you notice, we don't even pass buckets. It's the only time we do this every year is that we invite our church to say, can we pause and take a moment? Let's be grateful for the abundance. And can we ask God what it's for? Because if it's all for me, maybe I'm gonna miss something. Maybe it's what God wants to do through me. And so coming up December 10th, it's a free will offering. Listen, you're new, don't feel pressure. If you're like somebody who goes, I don't believe in the church and giving to the church. Can I just release you and just say, can I challenge you though? Be generous, give it somewhere. Find an organization, a ministry that's doing good in this world and give it there. That's fine. I trust God to provide for us. And one of the things that we've been able to see is that God not only has used the offering to help meet our needs as a church, to create expansion for the future year, but also we love to take a portion. We take 10% of what is given and we designate it not to pay the bills, but we designate it to make a difference in our community. We say, how can we use this to serve organizations? How can we do this to help people when they come to us in need? How can we do this to further the gospel of Jesus Christ in our community and beyond? And so we were able to do that last year because so many of you gave that you were part of this church. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for doing that. It helped us not only to, as a step of faith in this place, to be able to not only meet the needs, but to exceed them in what we could do going into this past year. And we got to do some really cool things. If you heard last year, there were some specific projects that we put in front of our church. We said, this is what we're hoping to do, praying, believing God for the giving to come in so that we can do. And one of those things was a project that is right in our own backyard that was really powerful. And I'm excited that we got to be a part of it. And so I want to just take a moment before we look at next year, this coming year, and what we're going to do to make an impact this season. I want us to take a look back at what we were able to do because of our giving last year. Watch this.
Hi, we are Jeff and Andy Burrow. We're out here at Asheville Estates. This is Matt Wilburn. He is one of the residents here at Asheville Estates. We just wanted to tell a little bit about how grateful we are for what X Church has done for the residents and Asheville Estates itself.
So Asheville Estates is a community of families that live in the school district that I teach in and a lot of my friends teach in. And we've had a lot of connections with some families in this area, have done a lot of home visits and noticed that there's just a need for just some light to be shed on just some areas that people are struggling with in their lives, that we all are. So we've been out here for 8 years, just serving the community the best that we know how and the best that we can. And every single time that we've shown up, God has been here. He's brought the people that he wants to be here. He's brought the needs that he wanted us to address with the people that live here. It's just been really God's hand 100% in everything that we've done.
So as we had more and more events here, we were bringing tents and setting up tents or renting tents, and that just, it's a lot of work. So we felt it in our hearts to want to have a pavilion and a basketball court to give the kids more things to do out here. So last year, at the end of the year giving, X Church committed $20,000 for the pavilion, which covered, like I said, most of the cost of the pavilion.
I would just say to people that are thinking about giving to X Church that X Church is a church that puts its money where its mouth is. Every single penny that is given for missions for X Church, I can guarantee you, is going to good use.
Thank you guys so much for doing this. You guys don't understand how much it's changed the lives in this trailer park and the community as a whole. And I used to never go to church until I met these folks, and I'm glad I finally met them, and I'm glad I could finally meet the community that needs me and wants me.
Come on, isn't that cool? Hey, listen, I want to say thank you so much for giving last year if you were here. We were able to do this as a project. We had other organizations that joined with us to help get it done, concrete companies and other things. But it's like, this is the power of just a community that will say, God, what's the abundance for? And I know a lot of times we feel like I can't do a lot by myself, but that's where the power of a church comes in. Where when we all take what we can do in the way that God has blessed us, it creates momentum. It does something. And so this year coming up, we have a few organizations that we are trying to just predetermine. We don't know how much is going to come in for the offering, but we're trying to commit in faith to some organizations that really need some help. And I want to just, if I could, before we wrap up, share with you what these four organizations are right now. And listen, if God brings in an abundance above and beyond that, then we'll do more as a church, okay? But this is what we're really believing God for. We are going to partner again with Teen Foster Christmas Outreach. So again, many of you already grabbed tags off of the tree here at our campus, but there are about 6,400 teenagers that are in foster system today. And, you know, oftentimes it's the little kids that people want to adopt, and it's not the older ones. And we wanted to join with another church. There's actually several churches and organizations in Central Ohio that are trying to, and the goal was, last couple years, was to give at least every foster teenager a $25 gift card somewhere. Now, that organization, the church that we're partnered with, they said this year we want to do two of those. We wanted to do $50 worth of gift cards to every teenager. That's in the entire state of Ohio. By the way, this has just come out of like one person in Central Ohio who said, I want to help make a difference, and there are churches like ours joining and being a part of it. So listen, on top of all of, and I encourage you, if you didn't grab a tag, grab a tag. You can do that. But I want you to know that when you give the end of the year offering, we're going to commit to give another 200 teenagers a gift card this season. So we're going to commit $5,000 to the operation that's going to happen on top of all the gift cards that are happening, okay? We're committing this stuff by faith. We're just believing that we're going to see an abundance. I just believe that God's going to bring it in. We're doing it. We're committing this in advance. Another organization we partnered with last year, we're going to do it again this year, is called Out of Darkness. It's one that our church has kind of partnered with for several years now. But Out of Darkness is an organization in Central Ohio that is helping women who have been enslaved in the sex trafficking industry here in Central Ohio, helping them to get out. Many of them are on the streets. Many of them have no way out. And Out of Darkness is an organization that cares about helping them get out. And there are several of you, I know our Inspire Conference has partnered with Out of Darkness. And they have these homes. They have a home in Fairfield County, a place that women can come and they can get food and they can get rest and they can get reprieve. They can get someone to help them get out of their situation. And it's grown so much that they want to put another home in Franklin County. And so they're on a campaign to raise money. So it's our hope that we can give $10,000 to Out of Darkness this season to put toward them getting another home in Franklin County. And so that's part of what we want to do with this. There's another one that I'm just moved by. It's a new need that we found out about in our community at the Circleville City Schools. We have administrators and people who are part of the school district that let us know that the school district in general, Circleville, which is just 20 minutes or so from here, is such an impoverished school district that every kid in Circleville School District gets free breakfast and free lunch every day. Whether it doesn't matter how much money their family makes, the average in the entire school district is so low that all of them get that assistance. But the need is really great in the school. And we've got connected to the social worker at the high school, middle school, and we have found out that she says that they have kids in middle school, high school, and elementary that come to them every single week asking for food. You know, a lot of times we think about poverty around the world. There is great poverty around the world. Do you know there's poverty right in our own backyard? It exists. It's real. And they partner with an organization that supplies them 150 bags of food, snacks, things that if kids come and get in need, they can give to them in that moment. And you know what the social worker said? The social worker said, it's not enough. They said every week there's about another 10 to 15 high school students, middle school, high school students that show up at her office asking if she has any other food. You know what it takes for a high school student to walk into a social workplace and ask for food? How embarrassing some might feel that is. That's how big the need is. And so we heard about that and it just broke our heart. We're like, we should do something about it. So we're committing on the front end to provide 500 bags of food to start with for the school. But we want to partner ongoing. They said it takes about $9 to fill a bag of food for these kids. And they're short every week. Here's the good news. Every week we have first-time guests who come to our church and we've made a donation to Mid-Ohio Food Bank to help them. That's what we do. So if you're a first-time guest, you stop off the landing. We want to partner with you. Why? Because we want to challenge people when they come to understand that God has called them to do more than just go to church, but to make a difference. And so we're going to commit moving forward that for every first-time guest that stops off the landing or online that fills out a first-time digital connect card, that we are going to provide one of those $9 bags. So every first-time guest, we're going to do a $9 bag to the school district to continue the ongoing efforts. We're going to supply hundreds of bags, and we're going to supply other things that they need. They need toiletries. They need some clothes. They need this. And so we're going to take from the offering, and we're going to say, we're going to provide it. We're going to all just take it to the social work, and we're going to stuff her office full of stuff for the schools. Come on. Don't you want to be a part of this? I do. Last one that I wanted to highlight. If you guys were here a couple years ago, we brought in a friend of ours. He's become a real close friend of mine. His name is Pastor Joel Leggett. How many of you were here when he preached about 2 years ago? Y'all remember Pastor Joel? He came into our church, and we kind of brought him in knowing that he's a church planner who started in Atlanta, Georgia. And it's been a struggle during COVID. They started it in 21. And they had some challenges looking for a new space, and he's always asking me, what do I do? And so I've had an opportunity just to mentor him a little bit, but we've also had an opportunity as a church to invest in him. And so we, if you were here that weekend, it was so much fun. We blessed him with $5,000 toward a big move that they were trying to make as a church. And then I saw generosity unleashed in our church that I've never seen before. We didn't ask people to do anything above and beyond, but people just started coming up to him and giving him money. And by the time he left, he went back with $30,000 from our church. It was a miracle, an answer to prayer. I was talking to him. He doesn't even know we're doing this, so don't tell him. I don't know if he watches our messages, but he was telling me about they're getting ready to lose their building. But then God opened up another building that they're going to be able to move toward that might even be better. This is how God works, you know. One door closes, he opens another one because his church will not be denied. And so he has this opportunity. He said, man, we're going to have to raise a bunch of money to move, to set it up, to do that. And he took up an offering, and they've got about half, maybe a little less than half of it. And they probably still need about another $15,000 to $18,000. And we know that God's going to provide. They're still in a season of doing this. He's asking a lot of people. He doesn't know this. Don't tell him. But I want to commit $10,000 to Core Church at the end of this year. I want to just bless them and say, listen, I believe in you. We believe in what God's building there and that he's going to do something great. And if God blesses us with such an abundance, then we can just bump it up. We'll just bump it up. This is what it looks like when there's a community of people that ask the question, God, this abundance, what you've blessed me for with this, what's it for? What's it for? I want generosity to create a flow of blessing through my life, and I want to build something bigger than my kingdom. Amen? We're going to build God's kingdom together. Right, church? December 10th, it's going to be incredible. Would you just bow your heads? Let me pray for you. Father God, I just thank you for this challenging word. I know that many of us are challenged. I am as well. God, I don't want greed to grip my life. I don't want it to grip my soul. And I just know that, God, you have called me and all of us to be generous. To not just think, I'm going to build a bigger barn, but God, maybe to think, I want to build a bigger kingdom for God. I want to see your church grow, and I want to see the gospel go forward. And so I pray for everyone who's a part of this church. And I'm asking for your Holy Spirit to speak to each of us about what you're going to call us to do, to give by faith. And God, these things that we're doing just around this holiday season, Hope Day, all these events, God, I just pray that you would multiply what you're doing through our church. And that, God, we could just see such an impact in this community for the name of Jesus. Because it is the only name by which we're saved. And so, God, I thank you for your grace over our lives and the challenge today to live a generous life. Lord, we love you, and we receive this challenge today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, come on, let's thank God for his word.
Thanks so much for tuning into this message. I hope that it encouraged you and inspired your faith. If God is doing something in your life, would you take a moment and let us know? We want to connect with you, and we want to be able to pray for you. All you have to do is shoot us an email to hello@thex.church, or you can always send us a DM on one of our social media platforms. And if you know somebody that would also be encouraged by this very message, why not take a moment and just share it with them right now? And as always, I want to say thank you to every single person who so generously financially supports this ministry so we can continue to get messages like these out to people all over the world. We believe God is building something special, and you're a significant part of it. Until next time, have a great day.